Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing to look at the resurrection appearances of Jesus, and we're continuing to look in John's Gospel in John chapter 21. Last week we looked at the beginning part of that passage, and now we're looking at a bit in the middle from John 21, 15 to 19. Now, I recommend that you would read it for yourself, but I'm not going to read it out loud now, because I'm going to do a bit of a monologue of what I think Simon Peter would have been thinking and feeling at that time. But yeah, please read it for yourself and listen to what God might be saying to you. Sitting by the fire, eating the fish, I could almost imagine that we were back to that time when Jesus first called us, when there wasn't any tension between us. But there is. I cannot forget when I was sitting by another fire, the night that Jesus was arrested, the night that I betrayed him by pretending not to know him, pretending to be a stranger to him, just to save my own skin, because I didn't want to be attacked for following him. When I allowed him to die, thinking that I had denied any knowledge of him. I feel so ashamed. To be honest, I feel like I'm not even worthy to be in Jesus' presence. I don't deserve to see him after what I did to him. But I can't stay away. I keep waiting for him to tell me to leave. And when he does, I will go. But for now, I will stay. I have to stay. The other disciples have heard about what I did too. They haven't said anything to me, but I keep seeing them glancing at me and as if trying to size me up, trying to work out where I stand. They all ran away as well. But somehow, what I did was worse. Well, it certainly feels worse to me. Every now and then I hear them talking about what I did. My shame continues to build in me. Even though Jesus is alive again, I still feel that shame, the guilt about what I did. Now, don't get me wrong, I feel such joy and excitement that he is alive again. I'm overwhelmed with joy that he is back with us. Every time I see him, I run to him, I want to be with him. But there is still that guilt eating away at me. Jesus hasn't even said anything to me about it. He isn't even treating me any differently. But that guilt is overwhelming, putting a barrier between me and him. And now, as we are sitting here finishing eating our fill of fish, the wonder of being with him is starting to settle and the guilt is starting to rise up again. Maybe it will be now that Jesus sends me away because of what I've done. Jesus finishes his meal and settles back with a sigh of contentment. And then he turns his head and looks at me, straight in the eye. I take a breath, expecting that this is the moment he sends me away. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I feel stunned to hear the question. Clearly, so were all the other disciples. As everything goes silent, they stop their conversations and turn to watch Jesus and me. Out of all the things I thought he'd say to me, I didn't think he'd ask this. To be honest, I don't fully know what it is he's asking. Is he asking that if I love him more than I love the disciples? Or perhaps if I love him more than the disciples love him? Or is he asking me if I love him more than I love fishing, the sea, the boats, the nets, the fish? Well, in all honesty, it doesn't matter what Jesus is referring to, because the answer to all those questions is the same. Yes, of course I love him more than these. I love him more than the disciples, more than fishing, and I'm sure I love him more than the other disciples love him. I love him more than anything. So of course I rush to tell him that, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Surely he knows how much I love him. Surely he cannot doubt that. Right? And then he says, feed my lambs. Okay, yes, I can do that. What does that actually mean? Well, he has talked about his followers as sheep and lambs, so I guess I need to feed his followers. Okay, that makes sense. But I get the feeling that he isn't just talking about literal feeding, but instead about teaching them. Feeding them spiritually, leading people to Jesus, the bread of life. Wow, that feels like a huge responsibility. Am I really up to that? Jesus continues to look me in the eyes, as if he is staring into my soul. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Again, he asked me if I love him. I've already told him I do. Of course I do. He knows that I love him. Why has he asked me again? All my fears and doubts and guilt begin to rise up again. Not because I don't love him, but the fear that he doesn't believe that I love him. He has to know. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep. Okay, again, he's telling me to look after his followers, but this time it seems more than just making sure they get fed. It's like he's telling me to be a shepherd to them, to demonstrate a sense of, I don't know, total guardianship over people. To be a shepherd is a huge deal. They are spoken about in the scriptures as people who lead the people and protect them. Is this what Jesus is asking me to do? How can he be asking me to do that? I don't know how. What if I mess it up like I have messed up so much already? How can he trust me with this? Simon, son of John, do you love me? He asked me a third time if I love him. I can't believe he has asked me again. It feels like an arrow is piercing my heart. Does he really have to ask if I love him? Doesn't he know how much I love him? It really hurts to think that he doubts my love. And so I say to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. The truth of it is that Jesus' three questions hurt so much because it mirrors my denials, my three denials of him. Three times I denied him to those people around that fire. And now three times Jesus asks if I love him. While we sit with people around a fire. But somehow, even though it hurts so much to be explicitly reminded of it also feels healing somehow. Like Jesus is removing my guilt and shame and replacing it with an overwhelming sense of being forgiven. Is that what's going on here? Is Jesus healing, restoring me? I expected him to cast me aside, to reject me as I had rejected him. But instead, he is welcoming me back into his embrace, back into his family, back even into his mission. I can sense the other disciples around me shifting as they too realize what Jesus is doing, what he's saying. I'm being forgiven and allowed back into the group fully, not just as an outsider. I feel such a sense of relief. This relief is immense, not just because he's forgiving me, but he's restoring me fully, even going so far as to give me responsibility, even though I let him down so badly. Feed my sheep. A third time, a third instruction to take care of his followers. Jesus is trusting me to follow his instructions. He commissions me to do his work. It's a responsibility, a privilege I never imagined that he would give me after what I have done. And I won't let him down. This time I will truly mean it when I say I would rather die than deny Jesus. But then Jesus continues speaking. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. This cryptic sentence sends a shudder down my spine. Somehow I get the feeling that this is a foreshadowing, telling me of the life I am going to lead if I follow Jesus, telling me even of the death I will suffer. It scares me. Can I truly follow Jesus, knowing it will cost me everything? Do I want to? So I leave the monologue there, the monologue of what I imagine Simon Peter might have been thinking. I leave it on that question. Do I want to follow Jesus, knowing it will cost me everything? It would have been a challenging question for Simon Peter, but it is also a challenging question for us too. Do we want to follow Jesus, knowing it will cost us everything? If we take a look at that sentence at face value, you might think, no, I don't want to follow Jesus if it means I lose everything. But the reality is, we stand to gain so much more than we can possibly dream of when we follow Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Or I like the Message translation of this verse. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. We have to choose whether to live our lives according to the thief or to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Because we all end up following one or the other, even if we don't realise. When we choose to follow Jesus, the road may not be easy, but it ultimately leads to more and better life than we could ever dream of. Simon Peter would experience great trials, but he would also know the wonderful joy of Jesus with him, always and forever, an eternity with God. When Simon Peter denied any knowledge of Jesus on that night Jesus was arrested, he had chosen to follow the thief's path, which leads ultimately to death and destruction. But the wonderful news is that Jesus always offers a way back. We sometimes stray from the path Jesus calls us to follow, but Jesus always offers us a way back as he pours out his forgiving grace upon us. No matter how you've lived your life or what you've done or how unworthy you might feel, Jesus offers you a loving relationship with him. All he asks is, "Do you love me?" So listen now as Jesus speaks your name, and he looks you in the eyes, as if looking deep into your soul, fully recognizing who you are, knowing your entire life in intimate detail. And listen as he asks you one simple question. Do you love me?